Coming up on this episode of Trillionaire Mindset, the White House backs a partisan bill that could be used to ban TikTok.
Is the DOJ going to block the JetBlue Spirit Air deal? Also, the head of the FAA gets hauled into Congress to have his little hiney spanked.
Yeah, oh, it was red, let me tell you. Is the entire economy gentrifying from the premiumization of shit?
We're also going to take a look at Elon's dismissive...
public shit. Oh, come on, you got it.
We're also going to look at Elon's dismissive public shaming of a wheelchair-bound engineer.
Did he deserve it? That's for you to judge.
We'll find out.
Welcome back to Monkey at the Beat Man.
Kramer, when I get done with you,
yeah. Are you ready for a trillionaire
mindset? Fill me up, Arrow. Bitcoin solves this. Bitcoin 100,000.
I used to be able to do this so well.
Well, anyway. I feel like I'm on a date with you. I always feel like I'm on a date. No, yeah, I asked you what you do.
What do you mean, baby, that? Check the disclaimer in the description box.
Check the disclaimer
it's gonna
in the description
get,
box.
It's going to get disclaimy here.
It's going to get real disclaimy.
Man, the crew was talking about a stock that I really regret not buying because I didn't know what the fuck it was years ago. Celsius Energy Drink. Ticker symbol CELH. Man, that thing was like a $5 stock a few years ago. Now it's like now 70.
Everyone's drinking Celsius.
Everybody's drinking them. Damn.
You can't walk 10 feet without seeing some joker drinking.
Sipping
Celsius.
On one of those. Me, I'm a Fahrenheit guy. Thank you.
No, don't. That was...
Thank you.
Don't give that to him.
Oh, boy. No, give it to me. You can give me that.
Speaking of giving...
That's what the people tune in for, that kind of bullshit.
I hope not.
I went to a funeral for my grandma on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And thank you. And I saw some, cousins and stuff who I haven't seen in ages, and they're, like, older and... They're like, oh, I heard you got a podcast. I'm like, yeah, you should check it out. But I'm like, you know, fair warning, it's kind of raunchy, man. Well, I mean, I didn't say that. But the last episode, the last 15 minutes, we were talking about dogs sucking off dogs.
No,
you
were talking about
No, you were too. In fact, I think you brought it up.
No, I put an end to it before you started talking about whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We got to plug the stickers.
That's what I was trying to do.
Plug them.
Guys, if you haven't gotten them already, we put out stickers of your favorite line from the show.
Which is?
Nothing like phone sex and your brother through a go-between. They're very fun stickers.
Got to explain and that one to my cousins.
Well, you have to watch every episode if you want to understand the
jokes. That's right.
So go get those. They're still available. I think the pink shirt's sold out again. Sorry.
Damn. Yeah, and also, don't make the mistake that I made. If you bought the pink shirt, don't wash it with your whites, because now all my white shirts have a slight pink tint to them. A
little pink hue.
Yeah, but it's okay, because I only buy the, like, Hanes tagless $9 for 50,000 shirts. So
that's what you buy?
Yeah. Yeah. They fit great. They look good. They don't itch. They fulfill their... You know, function.
They're like undershirt.
I'm on rich guy mode. I dress poor. You got to dress poor, dude.
Sure.
Yeah. Oops, did you hit the mic?
Anyway, should we plug the real thing?
What real thing?
In...
Soon.
On... Should we say the date? Or should we say you got to follow us to find it?
Well, say the date, sure. But then also when the tickets go on sale.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing a live show.
We're doing a live show in New York City. Ever heard of it? The Big Apple, baby. Take a bite.
Yeah.
On April 4th,
yeah,
me and Ben. It's not a Trillionaire Mindset thing. It's Ben and Emil live in New York City. We also don't even know what the show is yet.
Yeah, we don't know what we're going to do.
But
enough. No, we know what it'll be. It'll be like After Hours.
No, it's going to be a whole nother thing.
Okay, then we certainly agree on that.
So,
tickets are going to be
available. It's a small venue.
That's right.
So if you want to get them, follow us on socials. We're going to post the tickets there probably around the time this comes out.
Yeah.
And you can buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And it'll be very fun. We'll be in New York City mode.
Yeah. Truly on New York City mode. Going to be bopping around there.
Pizzas.
Pizza.
Taxis.
Going to Court Street Grocers, getting the sandwich. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait for that. Yelling at people. I'm walking here. Running red lights or walking through where you don't supposed to. I don't know.
Jaywalking.
Jaywalking. Thank you. City bikes.
But so, yeah, if you want ticket information, follow us on socials. We'll post it. We'll post the ticket link.
Yeah, because it's probably going to sell out pretty quick. According to my data, there's
we did crunch the numbers on this.
There's a good amount of you in the tri-state area, so.
It's a small venue.
Yeah, tickets are $200.
Also, they're not. Literally, the venue was like, can you raise the price? You guys will probably sell this out. And I said no, because we are figuring out what this whole thing's going to be. So if you want to come, come watch us figure it out, but don't be like, it wasn't a whole, you know.
Also, Trader Treehouse is still going strong, and some of you are like, where do I find it? I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say TraderTreehouse.com. Yeah, or, you know, when you Google it, it pops up there. And also, if you have to ask that, you probably shouldn't be trading. Sorry. Anyway.
It's all good.
We're having some fun in the room. We're some people scored this week on this one ticker that was, I'm glad they did. Okay.
And then, I'd like to say, stop posting about Traitor Treehouse on Reddit. I've been very clear. Don't post about that on Reddit. DM me if you need the information for Treehouse. It's a pretty, you know, we're trying to keep it quiet.
Gotcha.
What we're doing.
Hey, we're also doing another live stream on YouTube on March the 23rd. And if you haven't seen Waleed's stream, it's up on the TMG channel. You can go watch us. We got banned from TikTok. Don't know why. Did we ever find out why?
Did we? We got banned?
Well, like a temporary ban.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it shut down.
I don't know if it was from my nudity or...
because we're the bad boys of comedy.
That's right. That's right. We're not afraid of anything.
I'm afraid of a lot of stuff.
I'm afraid of...
Some would say that's why I'm so bad. I'm acting out.
I'm afraid of future wife. I'm already afraid. She's got a...
I heard you got banned from TikTok.
Yeah, and she's got a rolling pin in her hand, like ready to bop me on the head. Can you imagine getting hit with one of them things? Jeez Louise.
A rolling pin?
Yeah.
That would kill you.
Well, yeah, that's...
That's how wives murder?
Yeah.
When wives murder.
Wives either murder by lopping off your penis while you sleep, or bopping you in the head with a rolling pin.
Thunk. Thunk. Is it a... I think in like Greek and Italian culture, it's a... They hit you with the wooden spoon.
Ooh, yeah. That would hurt too.
It does hurt.
Put your knuckles on your hands on the table and they bop your knuckles. Ooh. Ooh. No, thank you. Just give me a hug and a kiss, wife. I'll never do it again. I promise.
That's not going to stop you.
Kiss on the forehead.
That's not going to stop you.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing can stop me.
Nothing can stop me.
Except for the cops.
We're both heading to the desert this weekend.
Yeah, separately.
Separately.
Yeah. What are you doing out there?
I'm going to the Indian Wells tennis tournament, the BNP Paribas Open.
You can just be watching, 30 love, 15 love. Oh my God. Do you see that set? Wow, this tennis match is going on for 4 hours.
How would it go from 30 to 15?
I don't know, man. I don't know how the tennis game is scored. It's stupid if you ask me.
You're stupid if you
just
ask
do
me.
1 point, 2 points. You won. 1 point, 2 points. You fucking won. 15, 30, love? Fuck out of here, please, with that, sir, ma'am.
You know, someone put forward a theory that they came up with a confusing scoring system to keep out riffraff. And at first I was like, that's a ridiculous thing. But now that I'm seeing you do this, I'm going, you know what? I hope that's what it was.
That is exactly what it was. That keep out. Sense. Who invented it? The British or the French? It's one of those two.
It was one of them. I feel like it was French.
A man named Tommy Tennis.
Tommy Tennis. I'm so excited to get out of LA.
Yeah, me too.
It's LA can poof. Where you
LA down? Can poof.
It really can poof. I went to go park my car the other day.
Oh no.
And I was driving by and I thought I saw a spot, so I slowed down and then I looked and I locked eyes with this guy and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then my brain put it together.
He was jerking off.
He was getting sucked off.
Wow.
And I just got like a
jealous
pit in my stomach. Uh-huh. It's like, I don't like this.
Damn, dude. Making eye contact with a man getting sucked off on the street.
So
uniquely LA or New York experience.
That kind of stuff didn't happen. And I mean, you see the occasional, I don't know, it's bleak here. And some friends from New York came out to come to the tennis tournament and they'll look up how far a place is and go, we should just walk. And I'm like,
you're a fucking idiot.
We can walk, but you're going to see every time we've gone on a walk, I'm like, yeah, you're just going to have to bear witness to suffering.
Yeah. Well, RIP to my grandma. Norma.
R.I.P. to Norma.
It was trippy looking through her yearbook. Everybody had such perfect penmanship, and they all said the same thing. It was like a great...
Hags.
No, it was like...
Did you guys hags?
Yeah. Or theirs was like, to a sweet gal. To a sweet gal. Wow, what a sweet gal. To a very sweet gal. And I'm looking at all these, and I'm like, all these people are dead.
You know what that meant back then, though? I think Norma was maybe...
A slut? You can't say that.
I didn't
she
say
married.
It. Not
she
only
married,
that, all those guys calling her sweet in her yearbook were saying it.
It was guys and girls, too.
Wow, guys and girls?
My grandfather wrote her this long love note saying, like, wait for me, because they went to school in Oregon and then she came down to California.
And what, he got drafted or
and
something?
He, I don't know, but he was like, wait for me, you know, I love you. And
where
I,
was he?
You know, blah, blah, blah. He was still in Oregon. He wasn't planning on coming down yet. And I was like, who is this guy, Winston? And my mom's like, that's your grandpa. And I'm
Churchill.
Like, oh, fuck.
Winston Churchill is your grandfather.
He was down so bad for grandma. I thought it was just some like, well, her high school boyfriend was like super horny for her. But then it turns out that they got married and popped out my mom and my aunt.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then they got divorced.
But back then you were an adult in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, full grown.
You're like, I'm 16 years old and
I was an adult at 13. It's a Jew thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, bar mitzvah. Yeah, they let you run a bar. Fucking stupid. Fuck. Anyway, let's get right into it.
Do you want to try again?
No, I'm just going to leave that there. We can cut it, probably.
No, we'll probably leave that
one. No, I don't know. I think that one. We got a lot to cover, my friend.
What do women get to do? Run a bat?
Fuck. Yeah. they make baseball bats.
But it's bat, isn't it?
No, yeah, bat mitzvah. Fuck!
Maybe, is that how Jews say it? Did you see him with that baseball bat?
All right, let's get into it.
Okay, yeah,
that's what
the
show is about.
That's what I'm trying to.
All right, so TikTok, man.
TikTok.
Everybody's saying that every time this kind of thing comes up, everybody goes, oh, TikTok's about to get banned. It's not going to get fucking banned. But the White House is backing this bipartisan bill that could be used to ban TikTok.
Right. It would give the Department of Commerce power to ban TikTok.
I didn't even know that there was a Department of Commerce.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Who's the secretary? Gina Raimondo?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Oh, she's from Rhode Island. Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure, too. Last I checked, she was the secretary of the Department of Commerce. So
Google it.
So, no, we know. We don't need to Google it because it seems like you know.
I can't remember if that's her name. Gina
Honestly,
Raimondo.
Who gives a flying fuck who the Secretary of the Department of Commerce is? What matters is the bill.
Do you know what it's called?
Yeah, like the Respect Act or something?
Restrict. Do you know why it's called the Restrict Act?
I can't remember what the acronym is, but God bless the intern.
The intern who came up with it? Obsessed.
What does Restrict stand for?
I'll tell you what. Little bit of a stretch.
Of course, it's always a little bit of a stretch.
Sometimes they're good.
What is this one?
Like the Pelosi Act was surprisingly perfect.
Yeah. Preventing, you know, yeah.
Restricting the emergence of security threats that risk information and communications technology act.
God, it writes itself. It means that God exists, that these things just work. So the bill is the purpose of the bill is to give the government the ability to block any technology that comes from one of six hostile nations. You got China,
let's see
Russia.
If you can name them.
All right, China, Russia, North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Two more. Give me a hint. Where are they?
One is very obvious. It's like we've hated him forever. Not hated him. Had bad relations forever.
Iraq or Iran? Iran?
Uh-huh.
Is that one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one more. What continent is it on?
No, this is taking too long. Cuba.
Oh, Cuba. Cuba. Love their sandwiches. Love them. So good. But, so it restricts any technology that could come out of there. And there was an example of, there was Russian software that got somehow, I don't know how the fuck this happens, but it was put onto government computers. And they got, like, hacked. Right?
Okay.
If you, are you, do you not
I don't know about the story.
Yeah, it's it was in that article about the about this.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened a few years back, and these government computers got hacked by this Russian software. And then you had FaceApp. You remember the big thing with FaceApp?
Oh yeah.
Where it was like, hey, this is Russian owned, and they're just like taking everybody's face.
We immediately just gave everyone gave their facial recognition.
But I'm like, what is so what? So they got my face. What are they going to do with it? What do you want? You can go find my face on the internet if you take it. Take my face. I don't give a shit.
Keep your face.
Same thing with TikTok. What? Because the paranoia around TikTok is so entertaining to me, because some of these politicians are going, they're sending Americans' data, TikTok data, straight to Beijing, straight to the CCP. It's like, what are they doing? Just going like,
right,
yes.
Well, they're collecting all the same data that any tech company's collecting.
Right.
They're doing the same things that, you know, so when they were talking about, because there was the instance where it was proven that TikTok employees were spying on journalists.
Right.
But along with that story is the stories that American tech companies were doing very similar things. It's just that now it's in the hands of China.
Yeah, an adversary. Oh, you had Huawei?
Huawei.
There was a ban mm-hmm. that we had. So,
yeah, we've banned foreign technology before. I mean, and tons of American tech is banned in China.
Well, and we're working on restricting China's access to American companies' chips, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got Doritos, Sun Chips, they can't have them.
Keep going.
Fritos. Yeah.
My favorite thing about all this is TikTok asking creators to help.
Yeah.
They're saying...
They don't even need to. There's government officials, there's members of Congress. One member of Congress said something like, I'm paraphrasing, but it said, this is bad because it restricts the export of American culture.
That might have been a spokesperson for TikTok.
It was it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
That's Brooke Oberwetter, a spokesperson for TikTok. She said in an email that the Biden administration already has the power to oversee the app through the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, which I don't know if that's necessarily true. We'll get to that in a second, but she said, we appreciate that some members of Congress remain willing to explore options for addressing national security concerns that don't have the effect of censoring millions of Americans, but a U.S. ban on TikTok is a ban on the export of American culture and values to the billion plus people who use our service worldwide.
God, yeah, we do. But, we got a monopoly on that shit.
So they also brought up when Donald Trump tried to ban this in 2020.
Right.
Courts later said that the government didn't have the legal right to threaten a ban, effectively neutering its leverage to force a sale. I don't know. You know, I would love it if they banned TikTok. I hate that it's a security concern. I really wish they would just... Remember when China was like, kids can't play video games for that long anymore.
Yeah. And yeah.
I want them to do that here.
Yeah, me too.
And just be like, you guys can't dance on TikTok that long. We're restricting how long you can fuck around on TikTok.
They're part of
me.
Like,
I know some of you are going to scream, what is this, communist podcast? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it is. It's now a communist podcast.
Yeah.
Comrades, listen up.
No more dancing on TikTok.
No more dancing. We're cracking the sickle and the hammer on you. And we're putting mass restrictions on everything. Who decides? Us. We do. Because we have good ideas. I think that most people would agree that we have pretty good ideas. Like if we were the supreme leaders of...
TikTok?
Of America.
Of America.
We'd be pretty good.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah. I honestly do. I think that we'd be pretty good.
Oof.
We would have to bring a couple women on board to balance it out.
I'm foreseeing a split, and I've become authoritarian.
Really?
Mm.
And what am I?
I don't know. We executed you.
How?
It was bad.
How?
We
anti-aircraft gun?
Drawn and quartered.
Dude, what?
I know.
Why would you do that?
We had to set an example.
Yeah, but come on, man. You could just like shoot me in the head and tell everybody you drew and quartered me.
I know.
Or shoot me in the head and like then draw and quarter my body so people, you know.
Mm. Well. Sorry. We had these horses laying around. We had to pull your body apart.
Jesus. Oh, my God. So the other big thing happening, well, there's a lot of shit happening this week. It's just like a bunch of little things. JetBlue and Spirit, JetBlue is trying to acquire Spirit Air, but the Department of Justice is trying to block it. They're filing an antitrust suit this week.
Yeah, this is becoming a theme with the Biden administration.
They're trying to stop monopolistic
power. Yeah, this one's, it's obviously a weird one because it's, so if JetBlue successfully purchases Spirit, I think they'll have about 10% of the airline industry.
Yeah.
And the big four each are.
Like 17%?
Anywhere from like 17 to 20.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of going, you know, what's the big deal? Everyone else was able to get in while the getting was good.
And the Department of Justice is saying, well, that's going to raise prices. It's bad for the consumer because it gives less choices.
Right. But so there is, like, that's the thing. They have
fewer choices.
They have found that this will raise prices for consumers. Merrick Garland, Attorney General, said Spirit's own internal documents estimate that when it starts flying a route, average fares fall by 17%. And an internal JetBlue document estimates that when Spirit stops flying a route, average fares go up by 30%.
Okay. So when Spirit adds a route, prices go down.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is his point?
His point is that to have them just absorbed into JetBlue and JetBlue take over all of their planes and fit them to just be JetBlue flights, you're now taking out a competitor who would cut prices.
Right, but JetBlue's counter to that was, hey, look at what happened when we took over in New York. We actually stuck to our word and dropped prices, and they did.
Yeah, that was a new competitor entering the market.
Hmm. Fuck. I believe JetBlue. I like JetBlue, and I believe the corporate shill who says, oh, this is actually going to lower prices. Okay, yes, sir. Okay, I believe you, sir.
It rarely ever lowers prices.
So you
That's always their argument. If we can consolidate these things, we can save money.
Yeah.
And then it just always falls onto the consumers.
Interesting. So you think that adding JetBlue absorbing Spirit to compete with the big boys would actually be bad for the consumer and raise prices across the board?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Mommy and Daddy disagree. I do agree with you. I'm sure that that is the case, but I also like to believe that the...
I mean, just think about it. If you have fewer and fewer places to go, right? There's literally four main airline companies.
Yeah.
If you don't see a route you like, you have to go, well, I can't fucking do anything else. Where am I going to go?
It's like...
They go, you don't like the prices? Get fucked. There's nowhere else to go. They're the only game in town.
Yeah, true.
You want to fly to go see your family? Sorry, these are the options.
Well, what if they keep Spirit Air?
They're not going to.
Oh, they would...
Their plan is, they said, under the deal, Spirit would largely be subsumed. The new airline would use the JetBlue brand, be based in New York City, and be led by Mr. Hayes. It would have hundreds of planes and tens of thousands of employees. JetBlue has said that it plans to remove seats from Spirit's densely packed planes to match its own configuration, which antitrust officials argued would make it difficult to keep costs and fares as low as Spirit.
That's actually right. I'd like to change my opinion if I could, given this new information. I think that this is bad. It's probably bad for the consumer, actually. And that's coming from a JetBlue credit card.
But it all does feel like a little ridiculous, right? Considering, well, it's just like, you know, it's like when your parents let one sibling do something and they're like, well, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
They've been grandfathered in. Because there's no way they're going to just start breaking up airlines.
Speaking of airlines, the head of the FAA is kind of under fire this week. He had to testify in front of a congressional group, pretty much led by Ted Cruz. God, he's such a fucking worm. I mean, have you ever seen a more wormy politician-looking politician? than Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
His name, his voice, his dipshit face, the expressions that he makes.
Mitch McConnell's pretty wormy.
Yeah, but Ted Cruz is on a whole, he's in his own category.
Lindsey Graham, pretty wormy.
Yes. They're all in their own little category. But Ted Cruz is the smarmiest, like nothing that comes out of that guy's mouth is real or genuine. It's all canned, bottled, fucking artificial flavoring, aspartame, fucking vanilla. God, he's just such a wretch. He just fucking sucks so much. His stupid nose and, well, I'm Ted Cruz and, you know, the Biden administration, you know, fuck you. Get fucked, Ted Cruz, you stupid smelly cocksucker.
Interesting.
You can take that one to the bank, you stupid fucking piece of shit.
Well, are you going to tell us what happened? Or
anyway.
You, Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
He was asking the head of the FAA, what's going on? What's going on with everything lately? Because if you've been, if you hadn't heard, there's been a lot of close calls. I think there have been more close calls just in 2023 so far than the frequency of close calls in 2023 is greater than, you know, the last like 5 years combined or something. Close calls meaning there were like planes almost
landing on top of each other.
Yeah. Planes crossing runways at like just 1,000 feet apart. And some of these collisions were avoided by the pilots, not even air traffic control.
I think most of them were avoided by the pilots.
That's fucking scary.
Yeah.
And you had that case of the 777 taken off from Hawaii or going to Hawaii or leaving Hawaii that suddenly dropped like 8,000 feet. And they think that it was because before they took off, the pilots put in the autopilot input the altitude, but they like left a zero out. So instead of 30,000 feet, they put in 3,000. So that when they were up there, they beep, hit the thing, and it was like, oh, you want 3,000 feet? Sure. Which is like, okay, there should be so many fail safes in place. There should be no reason for the autopilot to be just accept that as an input. Like, oh yeah, 3,000 feet. That makes sense.
But that's what kind of feels like the whole joke about all this, right? They're hauling this guy into Congress to talk to him while they're not proposing to fund all these things or add any or regulate the industry in any way.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, the FAA, so this is from the Financial Times. Unfortunately for the FAA, their staff has been shrinking at the same time that their job has been growing. Civilian airspace is simply more crowded. There are more flights and they don't have as many people to oversee the airspace as it's becoming more crowded. So they haul these people into Congress and they're like, tell us what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have the resources to do the job you want me to fucking do.
Right. People have retired. They are not, especially air traffic control, they are not easy jobs to replace. They take years to train people.
Right. They're coming out of that pandemic era where they gave the airline industry what $54 billion, and they were like, you can't fire anyone, so they had them all do voluntary leave or early retirements.
Yeah, early retirement.
And then the industry rebounded very quickly, and they were like, oh shit, oh fuck, well why don't we just lower our pilot standards.
Yeah.
And now everyone's going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, then there was that NOTAM outage. There was some big system-wide outage a few weeks ago. You had the Southwest debacle, and the FAA guy, to his credit, and he makes a good point. He said we still have a phenomenal safety record. We still are like the American FAA, the rules and regulations and the safety record are like the gold standard for the entire world. And we haven't had a fatal airline crash, I think, in like 13 years.
Damn.
Yeah. So we still got it going on. It's just that all these close calls begs the question, like, what the fuck's going on? So he said that they're going to have this big summit, and they're going to closely review all these policies and policies. What's the word I'm looking for, buddy?
Regulations?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah. All these rules and regulations to make sure that everything is actually up to snuff and as safe as possible. And if there's any room for revisions or improvements, they're going to do that. But as they say, I'm going to butcher the saying, but the rules for the FAA are written in blood, because they learn from like deaths and shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's why I like watching those airplane disaster shows.
Because
every single...
you're like, there's another government regulation.
Kinda. Because everyone, they... You watch it, and at first you're like, God, that's fucking terrifying that that happened. But then at the end, they're like, and this is now why we can never allow for this to happen, because here's what we learned, and here's all the new rules that we applied. So I'm like, whew, well, at least I know another, like, stripped lug nut isn't going to cause the rear stabilizer to malfunction and cause the plane to invert and then nosedive into the ocean. That's not going to happen. Yeah. At least I know now that, you know, new rules require that... training manuals or maintenance manuals are written in plain English for the maintenance people to understand, so that the engine doesn't fall off during takeoff and then the plane fucking crashes.
It's also...
I could name you so many different crashes.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's like when you, when you're driving around and you see a new stop sign, you're like, oh, someone must have beefed it right here.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Someone must have had a horrible death.
My dad, I remember he... really pushed our local city council person to get like a left turn arrow installed at our intersection right near our house. And he was so proud when it finally did. And all the neighbors were like, whoa, hell yeah. And he's like, no, it's me. It was needed. He'd be like, only two cars can get through a single green. It's ridiculous. Now like 30 cars can go because there's a middle school right there and they can just fucking funnel out of there.
Must be nice to kind of live in a small, what is there, 10 million people in LA?
I don't know.
I think the town I grew up in had 10,000.
Damn, teeny weeny.
Go down to City Hall. We want a left turn signal.
Yeah, yeah.
Be fun.
The city's got to come out. Well, we got to do a study. Suck my dick. Just take my word for it. Put in the fucking signal. Anyway, speaking of signals, there was another Norfolk Southern.
Oh, wait. Also, did you hear that? You probably did hear about this because you love the planes.
Oh, I love them. What? What?
Did you hear about that? Because it's funny, we were talking about it on 8-Ball. We were talking about turbulence. Mm. But I just saw, apparently turbulence is getting worse because of climate change.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So just on more flights and stuff, you're just going to be jostled about.
There was a woman who actually died.
That seatbelt sign is staying on.
Yeah. There was a woman who died in a private jet that hit some severe turbulence. She probably bonked her head on the ceiling or something. Yeah. Recently happened. Turbulence won't take off the wings or anything, but it'll definitely definitely make you feel the drop in your stomach.
That's the worst.
I will say, when I was naked on that airplane and experiencing turbulence in the bathroom while standing up, it is so much less scary when you're standing up. It's like, oh, this isn't that bad. It just feels like I'm on a train.
Because you get to use your legs to adjust to it.
Yeah.
Rather than just being a little baby sitting in a seat.
Also, if you're ever in really bad turbulence, I want you to do the following. I want you to imagine what the plane probably looks like from the outside.
Which is just like this.
Yeah. It's probably just like a little fucking... It's not a big deal.
I always turn to the guy next to me and I go, we're fucked. We're fucked, dude.
I just kind of, I don't get really scared. The only time I get scared is when it hits all of a sudden and you're like, whoa, what was that?
Oh. Or I always bring a letter.
Oh, that's nice.
And I say, please bring this to my wife if you make it out.
Like, buddy, I'm sitting next to you. If we die, I'm dying too.
Just get it to her.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
Get it together. Anyway, we have fun at this show, don't we?
We do.
We have fun.
It, man. One of my favorite plane crashes was, I mean, we all know it was 9/11, but my, there was one.
That was a top tier. That's a S tier plane crash.
Do you know what the deadliest, non-terrorist related?
Not 9/11.
The deadliest non-9/11.
Notwithstanding 9/11.
Yeah. Plane crash was?
Those people who ate each other.
That wasn't the deadliest. No.
Oh, I thought you said most gruesome.
No, I said deadliest.
Oh, okay.
It was two Boeing 747s collided.
Yeah,
on the
pilots.
On foggy runway.
The pilots were doing a prank. They thought it was going to. Yeah.
What was the prank? They're going to take off at the last minute. Oh, fooled you down there.
They. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it was a prank gone wrong. Yeah,
the 70s were crazy.
It was a video. It was just a video, just a prank. And
were doing a TikTok prank.
Yeah.
And a lot of people died.
I think like 450 people died.
All for a prank. All for views.
Can you Google KLM 747?
Ooh, Dutch,
disaster?
Huh?
Yeah, it was Dutch. KLM 747 crash. Yeah, Tenerife. March 27th, 2747. And if you don't know what a 747 is, it's one of the big honking ones, all right?
Dude,
583 fatalities, 61 survivors. Runway collision in fog. One was taxiing and about to go, like, make a turn while this other one was taking off and just cut through the fucker. R.I.P.
R.I.P. to a lot of those people.
Yeah, man.
Pan Am. R.I.P.
It was Pan Am?
Pan Am and
KLM.
KLM.
Yeah. Oh,
we used to
boy.
Have so many airlines.
Yeah, those were the days. I remember
TWA, Continental.
U.S. Airways.
U.S. Airways.
I had a U.S. Airways miles, and then they got absorbed by American.
Whew.
Yeah. What else?
God, that would be sick. Because back then, they didn't have. Imagine doing Google Flights at that time. You're like, gee, look at all these fucking options, man.
Yeah.
Continental, U.S. Airways. What do I want to take here?
Yeah. There are a lot of airlines, but not as many as there were before.
Are there?
I don't know. Yeah, there's fewer for sure.
I see four.
I hate those fucking flights.
Or I see ones that are like not viable options. They're like, you can take Frontier. It'll take 38 hours to get to New York. And you're like,
yeah.
Don't show me this option.
Yeah. Young me would have been like, oh, cool. I can save some money and I get to go like stay in a city for an extra 24 hours.
I'll just
sleep at the airport. Fucking no.
I did it one time. I did Frontier and it was an 8-hour layover. And I was just like, this was so dumb.
Yeah.
I should have just paid the... And it was the same gate. They had an earlier flight with some space. And I was like, can I just get on that flight? And they were like, no.
You didn't pay for it, dipshit. Chuckle nuts.
And I was like, you guys are just going to make me sit here?
Yeah, you stupid baby. Sorry, sir. Go sit down and shut up, bitch. You paid for the cheaper flight.
I mean, that's what, you know, that's another part of it. These things, they grow and get bigger. They absorb each other.
Yeah.
You have fewer and fewer options.
Yeah.
And the consumers have zero protections. They just get pushed around. They have no recourse when they're posting schedules they know they can't keep to.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks. It's not good for the consumer at all.
We should start an airline called Cruel Air where everybody's mean to you. Sit down, bitch. Everybody sit down and shut up. It's time to fly, bitch.
That is what's going to happen.
But it's like really good food.
Should we talk about that? Should we talk about that article about the economy gentrifying?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Hey, you know what else can gentrify? The whole fucking economy, gang.
No, but it does feel like that. It feels like there is going to be...
Two different economies?
Yeah. And you are seeing a lot in the airline industry, right? That's the most widespread example where it's the premiumization of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to pick a seat? Fucking pay for it.
Yeah, bitch.
You want to not have your knees in your chin? Pay for it.
Bitch.
You want a fucking little snack? Pay for it.
Cocksucker. That's why I like, you know, I hate them now because they banned me, but American Airlines, they got good snacks and they give it to you for free. Southwest, free. JetBlue, free. It's the help yourself model, actually. You can get up and just take it from the little thing.
Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, I'm tired of this.
But yeah, they're talking about this trend, you know, premiumization, where there's a... It's a divide in the American economy. The premiumization trend also reflects a divide in the American economy. The top 40% of earners are sitting on more than $1 trillion in extra savings amassed during the early part of the pandemic.
Good for them.
Lower income households, on the other hand, have been burning through their savings, partly as they contend with the higher cost of the food, rent, and other necessities that make up a bigger chunk of their spending. As products grow more expensive and exclusive, big swaths of the economy are at risk of becoming gentrified, raising the possibility of that poorer consumers will be increasingly underserved. And they have a bunch of different examples. And so they're saying, you know, it's not clear whether or not this will pay off for the companies, right? Yeah. There are some companies where it is working out. American Express is, you know, really pivoting to just making high-end consumers happy. And that's working for them, right? But then there are funny ones like...
Wait, real fast. I like this quote. The notion of premiumization was raised in nearly 60 earnings calls and investor meetings over the past 3 weeks.
Right. A lot of companies are trying to get that high-end customer.
Yeah. Well, and just a way to keep squeezing out, just milking the teat. Just getting, I'm for the audio listener, I'm milking.
He's meet the parenting.
I'm milking some tiny little teats, pumping up profits.
I got nipples, Greg.
Can you suck me, milk me?
Is this a good tweet? I got a gun, Greg. Could you shoot me?
I don't think anyone would get it because that movie came out like 20 years ago.
Still holds up. Still holds
but,
up. But places like Six Flags and... Why did you get pissed off?
Well, because I can't wait. What are they doing? Like, hey, you can pay extra to be better than everyone.
Yeah. The thing, they recently shifted to a more premium model by raising prices and limiting discounts. Oh, man. I used to love the discount. Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey. Literally, all you had to do was bring a Coke can. You would get buy one, get one tickets. So Salim Basul, the chief executive, described as bold changes to our business model in order to elevate the guest experience.
The front seats are safer than the rear seats. You pay less, but you risk getting decapitated.
Less people are going in. So they raised prices, and so you're getting less people in, but they're paying more and they're spending more. It hasn't really worked out. So in the 9 months through September, attendance at its parks fell by 25% and spending per guest rose by 22%.
Cool.
Walt Disney was doing the same thing at their parks, but I think they're nixing it.
I think a Disney ticket now is like, what, $180 per adult, something like that? It's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yeah. It used to, you know, in the 70s, it was like $25.
I mean,
you pay like $40 for parking.
I don't think I'll ever go skiing again.
Skiing?
Yeah.
Really?
Skiing has gotten so prohibitively expensive. It always was, but it's, I mean, for a day of skiing, it's like $200.
And the rules that they have for skiing, they make intentionally vague so that it keeps out the riffraff.
Just like tennis.
Just like tennis.
Tennis is a weird one because it's obviously a bougie sport.
Yeah.
Right? It's historically exclusive.
A country club sport.
Country club. But I don't really understand it. It's
You buy a racket and some balls.
Buy a racket and some balls.
Yeah.
Rackets can get very expensive, but you can get one at Target for $25 if you want.
Yeah.
Probably a little more. But racket and balls, and then go find a county court.
Yeah.
But what?
No, continue.
They're also seeing this in the U.S. car market, okay?
Oh, yeah, with BMW taking away your air conditioning.
But not only
pay.
That, there's fewer models available to lower-income people. At the end of 2017, 36 models were priced below $25,000, and the share of cars that cost that much or less accounted for nearly 13% of all sales of new cars. At the end of last year, only 10 models had starting prices that low, and their share of sales plunged to less than 4%. Mm. Subprime buyers are increasingly falling out of the market, in a sign that poorer people, who tend to have lower credit scores, are struggling for a foothold. For now, car ownership could increasingly become the purview of the rich. Having fewer new cars eventually translates into fewer used cars. That raises prices, and together with higher interest rates, threatens to shut poorer people out of the market.
And what cracks me up is when you get these right-wing or libertarian whatever guys who are like, oh, the free market gives the consumer choice. Like, go to communist fucking Cuba and look at their grocery store. You have one choice of breakfast cereals and like one choice, you know. But then look at the car market. Every fucking compact SUV, every fucking sedan, they all look the same. And you can only get them in like four colors. It's just become so sterile. And so, like, if you look at all the different comp, like Mercedes, BMW, Hyundai, every single one, they all look the same. They're almost indistinguishable.
And you're saying communism is coming for us?
We're already there, buddy. We got the same shit. That's what, bitch. This is your capitalism at work.
Mm.
It gives you The competition becomes so fucking stupid that innovation kind of falls by the wayside, and it just becomes a race to the bottom.
Well,
while
we've
keeping
done
prices
this
as high as you can
to ourselves, where we've worked ourselves into a system where we think we need a new car every year.
Well, you do,
and
I truly don't understand.
The new model has to have updates, and so it's just this. You know, I just saw the new Crosstrek because I was like, oh, maybe I'll turn mine in at some point. And I was like, this is horrible. They just feel like they had to change stuff. So they just, things that don't even make sense, you're just throwing on this car.
Yeah. That's why I like older, people always give me shit. Why do you buy like old used cars? Because they don't have all of this shit that sucks and feels plastic and feels cheap. And I want knobs. Give me knobs.
Your car is very plastic.
My current one?
Yeah.
The truck? No way.
Okay.
I mean, plastic in the sense that, yeah, sure, the things themselves are plastic, but it's like I have knobs. I don't have to go through a touchscreen to find the air conditioning. I can do it while not looking because that's part of the safety.
Yeah, that was what the new Crosstrek did. They put all the climate stuff onto a screen, and it's like, why? It was on Reddit because, you know, I'm a member of Crosstrek subreddit.
Yeah.
And a guy was talking about how he turned in his... Because the Crosstrek still has, they have a small screen. I mean, you see mine, and they have the climate stuff down here. But the Outback had the huge
iPad
Tesla-esque screen.
Yeah,
and the guy was like, I literally turned in my Outback and was like, "Give me a Crosstrek. This is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to another fucking screen when I just
want
to turn down.
I don't want a menu. Yeah, it's insane and absurd. Speaking of the premiumization of everything. Interesting little article that came out about the dirty little secret of credit card rewards programs.
A little opinion piece in the New York Times.
Yeah, it is an opinion. And I guess I agree with it somewhat. The main thesis is that credit card rewards cost the credit card companies because obviously they're giving out free, quote unquote.
The point is that as these rewards programs have gotten more popular, everyone kind of tends to think like, oh, it's just money for nothing, but it's not. There's a cost to that, and that cost gets passed on
to us.
To us. But
to a lesser extent,
but
to a higher.
Mostly lower income people who are not
reaping the benefits.
Right. But also to us, right? I, you know, for example, I'm using a ton of credit card points. I have to go to so many weddings that everyone knows about already. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting it on points, and I'm like, great, this is like money for nothing. But it's not really. Things have gotten more expensive to cover these things,
yeah,
is what they're saying, right? Because one of the big ones they talk about is the Chase Sapphire card, which went, I didn't know this. So it launched in 2016, mm-hmm, and you know, it comes with perks, bonuses, points multipliers. There was so much initial demand that Chase ran out of the metal slabs it prints the cards on.
Jesus Christ. Congratulations, Jamie Dimon.
Sapphire's enormous success set off a credit card perks war with numerous banks flooding the market with sign-on bonuses worth thousands of dollars. Mm. But a recent study at Stanford found that when credit card rewards increase, so do the fees, right? The United States now has some of the highest credit card processing costs in the world, typically at 2% to 2.25% of every purchase. This is 8 to 9 times as much as the prevailing swipe fee in the European Union. The vast majority of merchants pass these costs on to consumers by charging more for their products, regardless of how one pays.
I love getting shit passed on to me, the consumer.
The result, lower income consumers are forced to pay higher prices on the goods they buy, but they rarely receive any benefit from rewards programs, mm-hmm, which is, you know, the Federal Reserve has been tracking the distributional effect of card rewards.
It's interesting that the Fed tracks that shit. I did not even know that they track credit card rewards.
Yeah.
Hmm. Where were you, Fed, when American Airlines took all my miles away? I didn't do anything wrong. I exploited their loophole. Fuckers. Piece of shit, fuckers.
I wasn't even able to use my American Express in Paris.
Yeah.
They won't process it because the fees are so high.
Yeah, American Express famously has the highest fees out of any of the cards.
And that's how they're able to provide these. You go, how do they do all this?
But they provide fucking exceptional customer service. It's like above and beyond. You wouldn't even know unless you've dealt with lesser cards, Citibank and Bank of America and Chase. American Express is like...
Do they?
Yes.
Found it fine.
I found it great. I have always... Whenever I've had problems, that's where they really shine. They like... I missed a payment on accident one time, and it caused my credit score to drop by like 90 points because suddenly I had one missed payment on my otherwise impeccable record. I explained it to the guy, and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get this off of your record, even though it was technically it was my fault, but it was an understandable mistake. He got it off my record. He refunded me the late fee, and he noticed that for some reason I was owed like 10,000 points that never hit my account, and he gave me all of that. Hmm. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I'm a customer for life. Yeah. Plus they got cool cards. I like their shit.
It's hard for me to say. I don't think I've ever had a, and this is all my fault. Hmm. I don't think I've ever had a customer service call where I haven't just, and it's ended in me just shouting.
Really? Damn, I'm
always, I lose my mind.
Yeah, I try my best to be nice because, you know, it's not their fault.
Well, you're just getting passed around.
Yeah. I hate it when you have to tell the robot why you're calling.
Right.
You tell the robot all the information that then the person.
So by the time I get a person,
anyway,
my blood is boiling.
Yeah, me too. Representative, I understand you want to talk to someone. I can understand complete sentences. Give me an idea. Give me, you know, what you're calling about. Okay. I don't even know how to phrase it because you don't trust the robot fully. You're like, I have a question about Miles. Okay, rewards programs. Is that correct? Yes. Okay, I'm going to need a little more information. Representative, I'm going to need... So then I end up just pressing zero until it just... Yeah. Fucking God. That's where AI is going to fall short, and it lends itself to that other thing we were going to talk about how as customer problems are hitting a record high, more people seek quote-unquote revenge because customer service experiences have gotten so dog shit that people take to, like, social media to reprimand corporations.
Have you ever done it? I could see you doing it.
I don't think I have. But what sucks is even then, it's just some poor schmuck on the other end of it whose job is just they're the social media manager. They are not sure they're representing.
It does get people results.
It can, yeah. But I feel terrible making anyone's life hell when it's not their fault. And it's like, what can they actually
do? I had
to
do it with ITA Airways when they lost my bag because ITA Airways is a fucking mess. There's literally no way to contact anyone. Mm. And I didn't want to do it because I was like, people are going to see this. I'm not trying. But I saw even people with like 100 followers would tweet at them and they'd go, oh, call this number, well, whatever. And so I had to be like, hey, you guys lost my bag in Athens. Can you help me?
Yeah. When I used like 60,000 American miles to fly business class to Tokyo for my 30th birthday, there was some kind of listeria or some kind of outbreak at their food where they make all the food for the flight. So there was no food on the flight. This like, mm-hmm. you know, 13-hour flight. And I was pissed. I'm like, man, I used my miles for this as part of the business class experience. What are you going to do to make it right? They were like, well, we'll give you either $100 credit or 15,000 miles. And I'm like, come on. You got to do better than that. And that's all they did. So I took the miles and I shut up and I ate it. All they had on the whole flight was alcohol and peanuts. And you bet your ass I got drunk and ate nuts. Because what else was there to do?
I mean, yeah, well, what can they do?
But I'm like, you had 24 hours to prepare for this. You guys should have, like, you know, put in a call to JetBlue and been like, yo, we need some food. We'll pay you something. Make it right. Fuck.
Karen.
Yeah, I was a Karen for a minute. I feel bad for anybody named Karen. You got to deal with that shit.
I also think, I mean, I was joking when I did it, but I think it sucks that anytime someone has a complaint, people are like, Karen?
Yeah. Let people complain, man. Well, also, let people freak out in public without filming.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're going super racist, in which case, tackle them and, I don't know, choke them out. But
I do think both things should happen. People should stop freaking out in public.
Yeah.
But also don't film.
Don't film people during their lowest moments. You don't know what's going on with them.
Right.
You don't need to ruin their lives.
It's also such a, I've never had that. I've never gone, wow, look at this idiot. I'm going to film.
Yeah, me too.
What am I going to do with it?
I feel terrible for them. I'm like, oh, man, geez, what's going on with that guy that he's freaking out?
Or like a fight.
Yeah. Don't fight. Stop. Can everybody just stop the violence? Speaking of violence, Elon got, dude, I still can't believe this fucking happened.
I can't believe.
What a fucking dipshit.
I can't believe he apologized. I'm sure everyone here knows what we're talking about. Elon Musk got into a little spat with one of his
wheelchair-bound engineers.
Was he an engineer?
Something. I don't know. He worked at.
Yeah, I believe they bought out his. I believe they bought his company, and then that, as part of his deal, he was an employee at the company.
Yeah. So click the second link. So this guy, I'm going to butcher his name. I am Haralder. Anyway, he tweeted, "Dear Elon Musk," and he tagged him, "9 days ago, the access to my work computer was cut, along with about 200 other Twitter employees. However, your head of HR is not able to confirm if I am an employee or not. You've not answered my emails. Maybe if enough people retweet, you'll answer me here."
But and also, Elon Musk is so high off his fucking smug Twitter persona and all the fucking likes he gets and shit. So he, of course...
he had to belittle the guy.
Right. So just right off the bat, he says, "What work have you been doing?" And Hallie says, "I would need to break confidentiality to answer this question here. If you have your lawyers share in writing that I can do that, then I'd be happy to discuss that openly." And Elon Musk says, "It's approved. You go ahead."
And then he said, "Among others, I led the effort to save about $500,000 on one SaaS software as a service contract. Supported closing down many others." Blah, blah, blah. He goes and talks about all the things that he's been working on. And Elon just goes, he just belittled them. "We haven't hired design roles in 4 months. What changes did you make to help with the youths? What the fuck?" And then he responds again with, "Would you say that you're a people person?" And
the YouTube clip from the movie Office Space where the consultants are coming in and firing everyone because
they realize
they bring value to the company or not.
Right. So the next is but that.
The
it?
The best part about this is so Elon replied to go up first. So these are screenshots from a guy on Twitter, Alex Cohen. He says, "I'm not going to lie, this is the most entertaining exit interview I've ever witnessed." And Elon Musk found this tweet that went viral and said, "The reality is that this guy, in parentheses, who is independently wealthy, did no actual work, claimed as his excuse that he had a disability that prevented him from typing, yet was simultaneously tweeting up a storm. Can't say I have a lot of respect for that."
After sending this tweet, Elon spoke directly with the former Twitter employee and subsequently admitted that he was wrong and apologized to the former employee. Elon also invited him back to Twitter. Oh, Babu, because basically he found out that the guy has a degenerative disease. He said, "I would like to apologize to Hallie for my misunderstanding of his situation. It was based on things I was told that were untrue or, in some cases, true but not meaningful. He is considering remaining at Twitter. And from what I understand, his contract at Twitter stipulates..."
He'll get paid out.
Yeah, if he gets fired, he gets $100 million. Fucking leave,
yeah,
dude!
Yeah, truly.
Take the money. Also, God.
Not only that, this guy is like a hero in Iceland or whatever. He's been on this big campaign to get more access to wheelchair ramps, all of this kind of stuff. He wins like philanthropy awards. Seems to be a sweet, sweet man.
Yeah, sure. I love how this exemplifies how truly stupid Elon Musk is, that he doesn't take the time. Like, there's no critical thinking skills at play here. There's no... he's such a good businessman. He's so thorough and blah, 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 blah. This shows just how blindly confident he is in himself and the people he surrounds himself with, that everything that he knows is factually true. Everyone else is an idiot. He's right. He's just like, what a fuck.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even call it stupidity. I think he's just gotten so...
the smell of his own farts?
Well, and just gone so heavily into this mean-spiritedness.
Yeah.
That's become so pervasive in public personas, which used to be, you know, kind of a death sentence for your career. And, you know, I don't know if it was Trump who made it possible for characters to come out like this, but it's the whole...
He definitely blazed the trail.
Right. But yeah. It's the whole Elon, Andrew Tate, you know, just kind of a... I can act in a despicable manner and, you know, it's the, I can go shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and my followers won't.
Yeah.
My supporters, it won't change a thing for them. And a lot of these guys just kind of prove that. This doesn't matter. The same people who think he's an idiot think he's an idiot.
But they love him for this.
If people think Elon's epic, they're like, oh, it was a joke, dude.
He's able to admit his mistakes.
So it doesn't change anything. I think it sucks that this persona and way of moving through the world and is becoming more acceptable. And like, you know, it feels like just a few short years ago, he would have been shamed into selling the company and remaining as some weird chair.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his fucking Neuralink company got denied by their... They submitted a request to start doing brain implants in people.
Yeah, human tests.
Yeah, the FDA denied it. And there's very little detail given because they are a private company.
Yeah, they have some...
Have to disclose,
the agency's major safety concerns involved the device's lithium battery, the potential for the implant's tiny wires to migrate to other areas of the brain, and questions over whether and how the device can be removed without damaging brain tissue.
Elon said that... he trusts in it so much that he would implant his own children with it, which to me doesn't say a lot.
They hate you.
Yeah, I don't think you got like 9 of them. You've got, if 2 fail, you got 7 backups. Like he doesn't view children with
we
love.
We just said, which children would you put it in?
How about, you know what would make me think you believe in it? Do it to yourself. When I was reading the sentence, I thought, oh, surely he's going to say he would put them in his own brain. No, it was his own children. Like, oh, okay. You don't give a shit. But
also, now I'm like, I don't want to be misremembering, but didn't they do it to chimps and chimps were
dying? Shit. Yeah. Well, what's also funny is you read the article and Elon does what he always does and he touts that it's going to cure blindness.
If you're paralyzed, you're going to be able to walk again. If you're blind, you're going to be able to see again. If you're
paranoid schizophrenic, it's going to cure you. It's going to cure depression, all this shit. And then later they get a quote from like the lead engineer who has to then put a damper on that and be like, yeah, we're working on first being able to get crippled people to be able to type. And those other things may be worked on way down the line. It's just the classic, like, Elon promising the world and then someone else having to go in and say, actually, not really. But it doesn't matter because all everybody cares about or hears is the promises that he lauds.
Right. No one hears... That engineer.
Yeah, nobody hears that. It's buried in there going like, actually, yeah, we can't really do that yet.
Right. And so while he's calling some guy suffering from a degenerative disease lazy and a leech on his company, everyone's like, oh my God, whatever, dude, he was joking. He's also going to solve that guy's problems anyway. He's going to fix that guy. So maybe, have you thought about that? Maybe he's the real hero here.
He also, Elon said, there's a quote of him saying, we're going to be able to do this, and then ... the future is going to be really weird. And it's like, oh, I can just picture
he said
him
that?
Saying that. The future is going to be really weird. Like, oh, God, you fucking cringy piece of shit. Ugh.
It definitely is going to be really weird.
It's going to be really weird. Fuck you. Like, it just makes my skin crawl thinking of him trying to be... He's just a walking... He's just a Tumblr guy.
He's an edgelord.
Yeah. But the worst flavor of it, too. Just the shittiest. God. Oh, just get on the fucking rocket and just, I hope it blows up, man.
God, that would be cool.
God, it'd be so cool. It'd be so great. Just. Oh, I'm so tired of it.
I am tired of it. It's.
All right, what should we wrap it up with any of these? What is Iran? Oh, this should be fun. Iran. Hey, gang, you know that one rare earth mineral, lithium, that we need for car batteries and just batteries generally? Iran says it's discovered what could be the world's second largest lithium deposit. I wonder if that's going to lead to all sorts of conflict and potential reasons for us to invade.
Well, speaking of Elon, remember... He said, we'll coo whoever we want to coo.
Yeah, so looks like, hey, Iran, good luck with that.
I think that was in response to Bolivia.
Yeah, congratulations on signing your own death warrant.
Yeah, it'll be like tomorrow. It's going to be like, Iran says they were wrong. They actually didn't find any lithium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It turns out no lithium here.
That'd be, I guess it's just... hey, what's the world's most abundant and useless, worthless mineral? Oh, it's just sand? Yeah, oh, it's like
bunch of sand.
We fucked up. It was just sand. Actually, it was just a bunch of fossilized dog shit that we found. Just a bunch of like wild dog shit.
We got mines full of
God.
Shit.
In fact, do you guys want them? Like, we'll sell them to you.
No, we'd love
probably
it if
don't
you guys
want them,
would
though.
Come over here and mine this stuff.
Yeah,
we got
so
much dog
shit.
Yeah,
we got so much dog shit to get out of here. Oh, man, the Ayatollah is pissed. Because we thought it was lithium, and we told him it was lithium,
and now we're probably gonna get killed.
Yeah, we're probably gonna get killed.
So anyway, just probably maybe stay home because there's none here.
Yeah, can you guys like delete those articles too? Because it's really embarrassing for us and it makes us look bad. We got to go back to the Ayatollah and tell him all this stuff. Can you guys like not? He hasn't woken up yet today. He's still fucking his like seven wives and he hasn't read the paper. So just please delete. Yeah, why would you do that? Don't tell on yourself, Iran. Anyway. Well, what do you say?
It's about that time.
What do you say? So long.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Okay.
How do you say it in German?
I don't know. Hey, we should do that thing where we do
Why'd
the head.
Why'd you get so upset at the German?
Because it sounded like you were going to say Auschwitz. You said Auschwitz.
Auf Wiedersehen? Auf Wiedersehen?
Auf Wiedersehen? Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen?
Auf Wiedersehen.
That's how you say goodbye?
I guess, dude.
Google Translate it.
If you made it this far, what the fuck is...
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Google Translate me?
Google Translate it.
It's like...
What are you asking him to do? Goodbye?
No, that can't be right.
Verabschiedung.
That can't be right.
So long? Farewell? Is it farewell? Lebe wohl.
No.
Okay, we you know, this is humiliating.
The commenters will let me know.
The commenters will let you know. Actually, it's a fucking...
Type in like A-U-F.
So lang. Auf Wiedersehen. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Auf Wiedersehen.
No, maybe. No, we're all over the place.
Who cares? All right.
We'll cut this
let's
out.
Let's do that thing where we do the coming up on this episode again. And now that we know what we've talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Go back to the beginning of this episode if you want to see that.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining, gang. We love you very much, and we appreciate each and every one of you beautiful babies.
This week on After Hours.
Mr. Munger, I've got some exercise for you, too. Let me suck you off, sir.
I'd like to do some exercises.
I'd put him in some...
I hate these stories.
Positions that'll make his heart rate. We want to go to war during the War of 1812.
Loser state.
Loser state.
We'll go. We'll do it.
We'll do it.
We'll do it.
We have sons we don't care about. Kill them. Take me, I guess. I hate my wife. Emil, man, you're so handsome.
No, stop.
But you're a dipshit. But you're also very smart. There you go. Compliment, criticism, compliment.
No, I didn't like that.
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.